This is the Mosh Pit Backstage podcast for punk, metal, and rock interviews and segments.
Hey, this is Mark from Periphery, and you are listening to the Mosh Pit on Sin.
Hello to all those listening on Sin 90.7 on FM radio, streaming online on syn.org.au and the TuneIn radio app, or on the Mosh Pit Backstage podcast on Omni, YouTube and iTunes. I'm Stefan from the Mosh Pit on Sin with another interview. On the line is guitarist Mark Halcombe from one of the most influential progressive metal bands in recent years, Periphery, who formed in 2005 in the United States. Periphery's fifth album came out in July and it's called Periphery 3, Select Difficulty, and the band will be touring Australia in February. Mark, it's great to have you on the Mosh Pit on Sin.
Hi, how's it going today?
Hey, I'm going great, man. It's a lovely day in Australia today. So it's the 14th of December at the time of recording. So, Mark, where am I calling you from now?
Well, I'm actually at home in Austin, Texas. I've lived here for about a year. The band is from Washington, D.C., on the east coast of the United States, but I decided to move because it's not hot at all it's not cold at all in the winter time. So it's a winter, it's a hard winter right now, but it's like 80 degrees Fahrenheit, so I'm pretty happy.
Oh, excellent. Gonna go on tour for some December shows or do some recording, or you're on a break?
No, we're on a break. We put out Periphery 3 pretty shortly after the previous Juggernaut releases, so those coming out so quickly in succession, we deserve a little bit of free time. and these months, we're kind of just looking to focus on other side work, side projects, and get ready for the large amount of touring waiting for us next year.
Excellent. Well, first of all, the news from last week. Congratulations on your song "The Price Is Wrong" being nominated for a Grammy in the category for Best Metal Performance. So, how does that feel?
Pretty crazy, pretty surreal. Yeah, I mean, it's just not something we've ever aspired to or thought was a realistic goal to attain, because it's just, you know, playing in such a niche genre like this and something that is not meant for mass consumption. You know, it's meant for a very small but passionate subset of people. And then to get this kind of recognition from something like the Grammys, which, you know, everybody and their mothers kind of knows what a Grammy is, so it's very strange to get that kind of recognition, but ultimately very flattering and exhilarating, so we're very honored.
Yeah, do you have an opinion on the Grammys in general? You know, in the category this year, you guys are competing with the likes of, I believe, Korn and Gojira.
Yeah, I saw the rest of the nominees. They look, I mean, to be ever considered in the same sentence as those kinds of bands, you know, Megadeth and Baroness as well, and it's pretty surreal. Yeah, and I, to be honest, you know, existing in the metal world, I have not followed the Grammys over the years because I know they don't really pay much attention. I mean, they give a category to metal, but they don't spotlight it at all. You know, it's one of those categories that they don't even really televise. It's just this little news ticker at the bottom. And yeah, I haven't followed it really that much in the past, although I know that Ghost won the Grammy last year, so you know, if they can win a Grammy, then they must be doing something right. Then the Grammy show must be paying attention to something pretty relevant.
What's your opinion on the term or the genre, gent or degent, whatever it is? Because you guys are, you know, seen as pioneers of gent or degent.
Yeah, I have heard that a lot. And to be honest, we don't really pay attention to it much. I mean, in the beginning, it was something that we just threw around very casually. And then it started to take off. People started to apply that word to a genre of music, when in reality, it's kind of just a term to describe a guitar sound. And then once people start to use it as a genre to describe our type of music and other bands' type of music, that's when we were like, okay, this has gotten out of control. So maybe let's not even apply it to ourselves anymore. But maybe let's stop saying jokingly. And now we've sort of graduated to not even really caring that much. Whenever people, like the elevator pitch, right, if somebody asks what type of music do you play, I don't say djent, I say it's progressive music, it's progressive metal, because I feel like if you say something like djent, or if you say something like thrash or whatever, it's very specific, and people already think they have this idea of what that type of music is, where if you say progressive, that gives you a longer leash, and it allows you to be a little bit more diverse, and get away with more stylistically without people hating you.
Excellent. So last time Moshpit spoke to Periphery was about 3 years ago, almost 3 years ago, with vocalist Spencer Sotelo, when we were talking about the Clear EP. But since then, you guys have released a double album last year, you had a new album this year, and you've been touring constantly. So have you guys, I know you're on a break now, but have you guys gotten close to burning out yet, or will this end of year break save you?
No, I think the days of us feeling really, really burnt out and exhausted are behind us. You know, we always try and learn from our experiences, and I think that's one of the most valuable things you can do as a band. And, you know, back in 2012, 2013, after we had released Periphery 2, the record before Clear, we found ourselves on the road a lot, thinking that was just the life. That was the life you're supposed to live as a musician, and not really thinking about how we can maintain our sanity. Mm-hmm. And how important sanity is to getting along with your bandmates and thinking about your future that way. So we just toured. We were road dogs. And now, I mean, you could still say that we tour quite a bit, but it's nowhere near like it was, because I think we're the type of band that gets along better and is just as well received when we put a little bit more space between each of our tours. Now, I'm very proud to say that we're one of these bands that, you know, if we took a year off or 16 months off or something, people wouldn't stop listening to our music. I have to say our fans are amazing, because they don't forget about us. And we've taken some pretty long chunks of time away from touring. And then when we announce a new tour, they come out in bigger numbers than before. And not every band can say that. You know, I don't think many bands can say that if they took off that kind of time, that they have a bigger group of people waiting for them. So I think we got lucky with our fans. You know, I always say that we have fans with probably the longest attention span you could ever ask for in this day and age.
Awesome. Now, you've titled this album Periphery 3 Select Difficulty, which suggests that simply the third collection of songs, the length of an LP, and it's unrelated to the Juggernaut concept records. Am I correct in saying that?
Yeah. I mean, we would have kept with the numbering scheme. That was something that we really liked establishing on Periphery 2. But then, sort of as you hinted to, when Clear came about, Clear was a very specific, unique concept we had in mind, to each write our own song and then put on a record. And then Juggernaut was, again, its own very, very specific concept record. And then Periphery 3 was, in a lot of ways, a return to the form of Periphery 1 and 2. And that we're just going to release a bunch of songs that are fun for us with no overarching concept in mind.
What does it mean by select difficulty, like the subtitle? Is that just like a reference to video games?
You know, I will say yes, 100% yes. But we also really liked it, sort of how it rolled off the tongue. A lot of people know us as gamers, and we're kind of nerds ourselves, so that's synonymous with who we are as people. And I like it. There's sort of an ambiguity to it as well. If you're not familiar with video games, or if you focus instead on how the term select difficulty can be used in a different context, sort of in a video game way, and then in relation to some of the more challenging aspects of the music technically.
So how is the creative process different from when you're creating Peripheries 1, 2, and 3 to the Juggernaut albums, which of course is a concept record, as well as Clear as well?
Oh, it's completely transformed. 1,000%. I mean, the first Periphery album was really, I mean, us in the band, we don't even look at it as a real Periphery album to us, because what Periphery 1 was Mishar, the guitar player. He had amassed a huge pile of demos over the years in the mid-2000s and late-2000s, and Periphery 1 was simply all of those demos arranged into an album form and released as our debut. After that was when most of the band really came into place. And then that's when our writing dynamic transformed. So instead of there being just a bunch of re-recorded demos that Misha had arranged, then it was a whole band writing together, starting on Periphery 2. And even on Periphery 2, we still did a lot of the writing very sectioned off from one another. You know, I would write a song separate from everyone, and Misha would write a song separate, and Jake would write a song separate, and then we would just pitch it to the band and then go record it. So it wasn't a real band in a room type of environment as far as writing it. When it came time to write Juggernaut, that's when it truly became, all right, let's get in a room and then write everything from the ground up, every single note. And Periphery 3 was, I guess, the most comprehensive example of a collaborative writing environment. Everything on that album was done and touched by every single member. So that's sort of the trend of our writing dynamic, and we're this is pretty much who we are as a band now. You know, there's no one member doing it all. There's no teams of writers. We all write together, and this is why we have the lineup that we do, because it happens to work so well for us.
How does it work with three guitarists? Like, who does what? How do you decide who does what?
It really just kind of depends. So it starts with a writing idea, right? If you come to the table with a couple riffs, or with a chorus, or with a verse, or whatever, our music is very guitar-oriented. It's very guitar-based. So that's 99% of our songs start with a guitar riff or guitar idea. If you have the vision for the song that you've brought to the table, then you sort of get to dictate what you end up recording. So if you wrote an idea, you probably are going to end up tracking the idea, recording it, because you play it the best. And then when it comes time to play it live, that's when we get creative with it. So sometimes, you know, our guitar player, Jake, he's panned right down the middle. When you go see us live, he's in the center of the stage, and he has all of his guitar parts panned right down the middle. So he tends to get a lot of the lead lines, the sort of very loud parts in the music, whereas me and Misha, who are panned left and right, respectively, we get a lot of the rhythm parts that are panned hard right, hard left. So that tends to be the basis of it. Of course, we have fun with it. You know, this whole process, having three guitar players, is fun because you can really flesh out an arrangement and make things sound big and full. So one of the more fun parts for us comes when we're preparing to go on tour, and we're figuring out who plays what, because there are no real rules at the end of the day. We can sort of toss around leads, toss around rhythm parts. That's one of the more fun bits of it.
Awesome. Now, Periphery will be returned to Australia next year in February for some shows. So is there anything in particular you enjoy about the Aussie run of shows?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's one of our favorite markets in the world, if not our favorite place to tour. One, because you guys are incredibly great to us. You guys are just amazing to us. Two, it's easy. You know, the flying is actually easier for us than renting a bus and going from place to place. And three, Australia has always been the market that showed us love from the very beginning. It's been a slow burn for us over the years in every single territory. But, I mean, as far back as 2011, when we came out there and we played with Tesseract as the opening act, we had never played for more than 400 or 500 people in our life. And then, you know, that first show in Melbourne, we sold out to 1,100 people at the Hi-Fi there. And that was very eye-opening to us, because it showed us that there's this population of people out here on the other side of the world actually gave, you know, cared about our music, and to an extent to which we had never seen before. So that will always mean something to us. Every time we go back, we realize 100% that we have to bring it. We have to be better than we were last time in order to give back to you guys, who showed us that we were worth something before we even knew it ourselves. So we owe something special to you guys.
That's great. And you guys also had the opportunity to play at the Soundwave Festival too.
Yeah, that was that was incredible. That was one of my favorite touring experiences ever.
Because you had to, just like with the Tesseract show, you had to maybe impress some people that never would have heard of Periphery at the time.
Yeah, and we love that test. I know a lot of bands tend to get intimidated by the idea of getting in front of a group of people who don't know who they are. But we have this sort of resilient, stubborn attitude where if we think there's a chance the crowd may not like us, then we just go harder. And we go even more crazy, and we try and bring it all the more intense. So yeah, on that tour, it was a great opportunity for us to do that and expose ourselves to some fans who wouldn't know who we were otherwise. But I mean, it was just a great lineup that year. I think, yeah, Metallica headlined it. So many great bands, and we got to play in Perth and Adelaide and play these cities that we normally don't play. So yeah, I'll never forget that experience, and I hope Australia has some form of major metal touring festival come up again in the future.
Terrific. So with the upcoming shows in February, what can fans new and old expect from your shows? Do you guys have a lot of new material out over the past couple of years?
Yeah, I mean, we want to play some new stuff because the reception to the Periphery 3 songs has been really great. And we haven't even played any Periphery 3 songs in Australia. I mean, we've barely played any Juggernaut songs in Australia since we'd only been back once in the past several years. So for us, we want to play a lot of that stuff and bring back some songs we haven't played in a long time too. Play some surprises, bring those back. So yeah, we're going to make it a fun set list and also increase our production a little bit in terms of how it looks. And yeah, it's going to be a fun show, and we always look to improve every time we come back to Australia.
So is Adam still taking a break from touring with the band? Do you have a touring bass player, or is it still a backing track you'll be playing to?
Yeah, we still have the backing track. No Nolly this time. He stepped away for a multitude of reasons, and as far as we know, it's not a break. As far as we know, he's stepping out of it for good. We're at this point right now where, you know, chemistry is sacred to us, and we don't want to replace Nolly because he's such an important member of this band in so many ways. And, you know, the fact that he isn't able to participate in a live setting, it's unfortunate, but we had to support him. And for us, if we had to choose one instrument which we could get away with putting on a backing track, it would be the bass. So it just happened to work out that way for now. So who knows what will happen in the future and how we'll address it going forward. But for now, we're comfortable with using backing tracks.
Will he continue to record with the band? Because he did perform on Periphery 3, is that right?
Yes, he did. And, you know, he did some writing as well, and he's a great engineer, great co-producer, and he's just so essential to what Periphery does in every way. And there's no way really this band could get on without him in that setting. So he's proven himself to be as essential as anybody else in this band. So that's something I want to dispel. If anybody thinks that Nolly is not part of his band anymore, that is for sure not true. And nor will we ever let him leave the band.
So it's almost like he's a recording member, not so much a touring member.
Exactly. And he's, yeah, exactly. He's a permanent member. We'll put a gun to his head if he ever tries to leave.
Excellent. So back to you personally, Mark. Can you tell us how you started learning to play music and what led you to Periphery?
Yeah, I mean, I started messing around with the guitar in the mid-90s, learning, I guess, the music that was popular at the time. Foo Fighters, I was really into Nirvana. The grunge music that was popular back then. But Metallica was the one big turning point for me. Metallica, Pantera, that's when I really got serious about learning guitar, just trying to emulate what those guys were doing. And all of that progressed into the 2000s, and I got more into more extreme music. And I had a project. This was in the late 2000s. I had a project in 2007, 2008 called Haunted Shores. And I had been recording songs on my own with Misha, who was also starting Periphery back in those days. He was doing very, very early Periphery demo stuff with Jake, our other guitarist. And when I was demoing Haunted Shores music for my project, they ended up needing a guitarist because they parted ways with their other guitarist at the time. And I guess that was a natural choice to talk to. And we began talking about, hey, why don't you come play some shows with us and see if it works out. And lo and behold, we had a lot of chemistry together. We tried writing together. Oddly enough, the song that we started writing in 2011 turned out to be The Price is Wrong, the song that we got nominated for a Grammy for. And yeah, we just had really, really good chemistry right off the bat, and it happened very, very easily, the transition into Periphery.
Excellent. Did you learn to play guitar? Are you self-taught guitar player, or were you trained?
No, no, none of us have any training whatsoever. We're all self-taught.
Really? Wow.
Yeah. I always say this when people ask me, hey, should I go to school for music? Should I study this? And I always say, just do what you want, but there's one thing that you should always lead with, and that's your ear. You can study as much as you want, but I know some people who rely on their ear for everything, and those guys always have the upper hand. Guys and girls, I shouldn't be sex specific. I shouldn't be gender specific here. Whether you have education, whether you don't, it's all about using your ear, and anybody can practice that. And really, whether it's just learning songs off the radio, humming things and trying to learn how to play what you just hummed, training your ear any number of ways, that's the bottom line right there. And anything you can add to that will make you even that much better.
So with that in mind, a good piece of advice would be for guitar players to eventually phase out that electric tuner and learn to tune their guitar by ear.
Yeah, things like that. It's little things, really. That's a big one for sure. Another interesting thing that helped me when I was younger was just trying to learn random songs off the radio, but not just riffs, not just parts, not just solos, entire songs. Because once you have this library of songs that you know and have memorized and know how to play for people at parties, at home, at school, or whatever, then you start to understand dynamics and flow and arrangement of a song. You know that a verse and a chorus and a verse and a chorus and then a bridge and then a chorus is going to be a song arrangement. That's your typical arrangement. You learn these types of things by accident. Sort of by default when you pay attention to songs, not just riffs, not just ideas. So that's a huge thing, too. I think just as important as studying music is just immersing yourself and learning arrangements, not just these little individual parts. I think that'll give you just as valuable of an understanding of music as anything.
I think that's terrific advice. So now the last question is, after touring, of course, will you guys be recording? Because you guys have been recording so much music over the past couple of years. So the obvious question is that slowing down, or will there be, or are you in touring mode? Will there be more music in the next year or two?
If someone asked me during Juggernaut whether we'd have a new album out in 14 months, I would have said no way. But we did it, so. I don't know. I would give you an answer. I would give you a real good answer here, but I think I could very well be wrong in a year's time. So I don't know. There's one thing about Periphery. It's never say never. You know, I always say that every album we do and every tour we do is a reaction to what we've just done. Periphery 3 is a reaction to Juggernaut, and Juggernaut was a reaction to Queer, and Queer was a reaction to Periphery 2. Each one with its own very different philosophy and approach behind it. So who knows? I think we crave something different after this. I just don't know what that is. But yeah, stay tuned. No, there's always a surprise around the corner with us.
Do you guys record or write songs on the road? I imagine that would make the chance of a new record out sooner more likely than it was, say, from bands 10 or 20 years ago. You didn't have that kind of technology available to them.
Yeah, you know, we've tried to write on the road, and 90% of the time, it just turns out terrible because we're just not in our most relaxed headspace on the road. You know, there's too much stimulation for me. There's just too much going on for me to focus on worrying about new music and how to make it good. But writing is one of those things that we just do for fun at home. That's when the real ideas start pouring out because, you know, instead of us going on vacation or taking up other hobbies, the way we unwind is just by writing music. So that's how it comes about. And we all live very far from each other. So using email and using Skype and using FaceTime to convey ideas to each other, that's a huge help.
Periphery will be touring Australia in February with the Melbourne show on Sunday the 5th of February at 170 Russell. It is an 18-plus show. The band's new album, Periphery 3, Select Difficulty, is out now. Mark, thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so much. much for having me.
Thanks for listening to the Moshpit Backstage Podcast. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and Omni. To find out more about the show, go to www.syn.org.au/moshpit. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/moshpitonsin and follow us on Twitter and Instagram at moshpitsin. The regular Moshpit radio show broadcasts punk, rock and metal tunes and interviews every Thursday nights on Sin 9.7 on FM and digital radios. Listeners outside of Melbourne, Australia can stream Sin 9.7 online at www.syn.org.au. Thanks to Vintage Ruin for the music.
Hi, this is Tomato from Flash Gun Apocalypse.
Hi, I'm Enid from Girls Go.
I am Phoebe Pinnock from Heaven the Axe.
Hey, this is Gary Olney of the Misfits.
Hey, this is Kat Sproul from Horizon's Edge, and you're listening to The Mosh Pit on Sin FM.
Hi, this is Aina from Leopard.
Hi, I'm Virginia Lilly from the band Lily.
This is Raul from 1449.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Ali from Beaverhead.
Hey, everybody, this is Charlie Benante with Anthrax, and you are listening to The Mosh Pit on Sin.